Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hi everyone, welcome to Imprint Out Loud. My name is Tommy and I'm your host. Imprint Out Loud is a ministry of Imprint, and Imprint exists to provide trustworthy biblical resources and training to local churches. I'll be interviewing different people on different topics as we embark on a journey growing in our walk with the Lord. Today, we again have the pleasure of having Doug Van Meter with us. For those that listened to our first episode, Doug is a full-time elder at Brackenhurst Baptist Church in the south of Johannesburg in South Africa. Welcome, Doug.
Thanks, darling. Great to be here.
Good. Today, we will be discussing knowing Scripture. Now, Doug, last time we discussed the Word and how the Word plays a very distinct and significant role in the church. And this all means that we all should know Scripture, right?
Mm.
So knowing Scripture is vital for our sanctification. And you mentioned John 17, verse 17, and it says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Now, a few things. First of all, could you explain to us the word sanctification?
Yeah, so to sanctify is to set apart. It's to set apart for a holy purpose. You could expand that.
Yeah.
And so Jesus was asking the Father to set apart these disciples, to make them holy. I mean, throughout the whole prayer, he's talking about that they will be with him, they'll be like him.
Mm.
And so sanctification is the work of God in setting apart believers more and more to practical holiness. We have been set apart,
yeah,
and we are in Christ, and that's a done deal, but there's a practical progressive element of that, and sanctification.
Okay, and then starting off before sanctification, then it needs to be justification. So it says sanctify them, so it's the disciples. So they're already in a relationship with Jesus. So people that are not believers, they can't be sanctified, right?
Right.
They need to be first justified.
Right.
If you can explain that.
Yeah, and so I think that that's a problem with a lot of people, is they're pursuing sanctification. Mm. They're trying to live holy, but they've never been converted.
Yeah.
And so justification is that legal act where God declares the believing sinner in Christ as righteous.
Yeah.
And then from that, because they... And that's preceded by regeneration. They're given a new heart.
Mm.
They believe on Christ. They're justified.
Mm.
So positionally, they're in Christ. They're secure forever.
Mm.
They're even sanctified. They're set apart. But there's the practical working out of that in our lives. And that's where the Word of God comes in.
Mm.
The Word of God is the means by which we grow in holiness. So Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible.
Yeah.
176 verses, and almost every one of those, one way or the other, refers to the Word of God.
Mm.
And early on, the writer says that, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How? By clinging to your Word.
Yeah.
So it's God's Word that sets us apart.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Now, that said, justification, sanctification, and then he says, your Word is truth. So, or sanctify them in the truth. So we just replace that by knowing Scripture. So what does it mean to know Scripture?
I think what it means is there is an intellectual element of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you have to be able to intellectually grasp the truth of God's Word to have faith. So there's an intellectual apprehension of truth. But knowing Scripture is not just having your head filled with a bunch of Bible verses. I've known people who won contests as kids memorizing Scripture who are apostate today.
Yeah.
So it's not merely intellectual, but it's applying those truths.
Mm.
So knowing Scripture is an intellectual issue, but it's also a relational issue. That knowing Scripture, if you biblically know Scripture, it's developing your relationship with God.
Yeah, yeah. For years, when I was still a new believer, I struggled with that whole concept of using the Bible to fight my sin, and just, you need to know Scripture so that you can apply the Scripture in fighting, reminding yourself of truth and focusing yourself back to the gospel and the holiness of God.
Right.
Would you say that's an aspect of knowing Scripture, the practical way of fighting sin or encouraging one another, building one another up?
You have to know Scripture to fight sin, because how do you know something is sinful?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your conscience, but keep in mind your conscience, you know, Jiminy Cricket was wrong. Conscience should not always be your guide, because sometimes it's wrong. But the Word of God reveals to us what is right and what is wrong, what is not right. So you need to know Scripture to know this behavior, this attitude is wrong.
Mm.
And then Scripture empowers you how to overcome that, how to do that in numerous ways, but fundamentally pointing you to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And pointing you to the gospel for forgiveness and then empowerment to move forward.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. How does a Christian grow in their knowledge of God? So now we sit here and we say that you need to have the intellectual knowledge of the Word to understand what it says, but you also need a practical experiential knowledge of how you apply what you know. So how do we grow in our knowledge of God's Word?
Yeah, I think that there's no easy way to do it. It requires effort. It requires saturation. And again, if you read through Psalm 119, it's filled with exhortations, reminders of the need to saturate ourselves, to love the Word of God, to delight in it. And it really is a love affair with God's Word. And that means you need to spend time with it.
Yeah.
So years ago, I read a book on Psalm 119 by a guy named Jeff Adams, who was a pastor in Kansas City for many years. Many years a missionary in Nicaragua, El Salvador. God used him to do a great work there. Anyway, he was sharing about how he took several years and read through the Bible once a month.
Mm.
And when I was on holiday about 25 years ago with my family, I decided to try that. And so for a couple of months, I read through the Bible every 30 days. And then every 2 months, I read through the Bible. And I did that for about a year, year and a half. And it really helped me. It just really gave me a comprehensive understanding of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Not detailed, but how it fits together.
Yeah.
But it just gave me more of a hunger for God's Word. And in fact, I came back to the church after that holiday and preached through Psalm 119. Took 22 weeks and preached through those 176 verses. And I think that was a great time for our church, just getting us to focus on Scripture.
Yeah.
So it takes time, it takes effort, but it takes the body. So it's not an individualistic thing.
Mm.
You need to be, as you said, speaking to one another truth.
Yeah.
You need to be hearing truth. So you need to expose yourself to faithful, biblical teaching and all those things. But I think the final thing is applying it.
Yeah.
Because if you won't do what God has shown you, He's not going to show you more light.
Yeah.
So as you obey Scripture, that's a way of practically coming to appreciate it and to really know it.
Okay. Okay. So living out what God is telling you to do. I was thinking of Matthew 4, verse 4, I think, where it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." So obviously there's a connection there that we can't just live from the physical food. We need to eat from the spiritual bread of life,
right,
on a daily basis, and just like you said, saturate yourself.
Yeah.
So it's not a sprinkling, but it's a it's a dunking.
And the challenge is that, you know, it's not always exciting.
Yeah.
So there's some mornings I read the Bible. I was working through Numbers today because I'm getting ready to preach through the book of Numbers.
Mm.
I mean, the first four chapters are not exactly exciting stuff, you know. But it's all God's Word.
Yeah.
So I need to pay attention.
Yeah.
And sometimes in our devotions we read and don't get much out of it, but you're still taking in. It's kind of like, and if my wife's listening to this, she'll understand and won't be offended, but there's some meals she makes that are more memorable than others.
Mm.
But the fact of the matter is, she's always nourishing us.
Yeah.
By feeding us.
Yeah.
And that's how it is with reading the Bible.
Yeah.
It may not be a memorable sermon. It may not be a memorable devotional time, but you're taking in God's Word, and God's using that to nourish you.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to this topic on prayer, but I was helping someone the other day because they were struggling in their prayer life, and I just said, just let your Bible fall open on Psalms, and as you read it, you pray those scripture verses. So it's that was really helpful to my own soul as well, to saturate my even my prayer life through the Word and knowing Scripture, and just praying it back to God, and praying that same sentence. You can pray for yourself, you can pray for other people, you can pray for your leadership, you can pray for your country, you can pray towards God. So that's also a way of just getting your mind in Scripture. Another question: how does a pastor grow in this area? How do we as pastors know Scripture?
So I think it's really important that the pastor sees himself first of all as a Christian, and secondly as a member of the church, and only thirdly as a pastor. And I think that's really important, because otherwise you approach the Bible, as Piper warned us against, as a professional.
So
it becomes a book of sermons. And I think what we need to do as pastors is see ourselves as believers, children of God, who need a relationship with the Father. And so I believe we should start every day by looking into Scripture for me. So I try to pray every day, Psalm 119, verse 18. Mm. Open my eyes, and I might behold wonderful things out of your law.
Amen.
And asking God to speak to me as I read His Word. Not about my troubled church member, as important as that is, or not about my sermon that's coming up, but I need to hear from you.
Yeah, because if you don't start there, you can't help your troubled church member, and you can't preach the sermon.
Right.
So you shared with me years ago where you said that a pastor serves out of overflow, which you need to fill yourself so that you can feed others as well. So be in the Word, not just for your sermon, but personally as well.
In fact, if I can just give an anecdote about that, my pastor, I said to him years ago, he pastored a large church, a church of 1,000 people. It had a worldwide ministry. They printed Bibles. They had 20 some missionaries around the world. He was a sought after preacher throughout the United States. And we were driving somewhere, and I asked him, I said, with all this going on, how do you prioritize? What's the most important thing? And he looked at me almost surprised. He said, "Well, the most important thing is my devotional life."
Sure. Yeah.
And I know him. He's my father-in-law, and I lived with him, and I can testify that early every morning, that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Spending a couple of hours in prayer and in the Word.
Mm.
And so if you don't have that, if you're not feeding yourself, and you're not knowing Scripture as a means of knowing God, then you're going to run dry pretty quick.
Malnourished.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, on this, do you believe that committing Scripture to memory is important?
I do, and I think there's different ways to do that. Okay. So my wife right now is learning with some other women in the church Romans 8, memorizing that. It's hard, and the older we get, it's more difficult.
Start now.
Yeah. So I think it's a great thing when you're young to start. I think there's different ways to memorize Scripture. I think that one way is, like, if I'm preaching through a passage, I'm spending so much time in that that I could actually close my eyes that week and tell you where those words fall on the page.
Yeah.
And so there's this, it's amazing how you internalize just by spending time in the Word. But I think if you have a focused on Scripture memory, that's a great plus.
Yeah. And the follow-up question for that is, and how does one go about it? And before you answer that, I spent some time with a guy in the States last year, and he developed a whole program to commit Scripture to memory. And I asked him, I said, "But what if you forget about it?" And he says, "That's fine. So memorize it, and if you forget it, it'll always come back." Which I always struggled with. Oh, I forgot this. But then when I come into a counseling situation, it just pops up again. So that's one thing that I've learned from him, is just, like, if you forget it after you've memorized it, don't worry, it'll come back.
It's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
And so I think there's probably different methods to do that, whether you put it on a card. I'm old-fashioned. You write it down. I'm sure you can use Evernote or something like that.
There's some apps that flash cards.
I'm sure you can do that. But I think that whatever works for you. But I agree. I think that there's this misuse of the verse. Jesus said, when you need to know, I'm paraphrasing, the Spirit will bring it to your memory.
Yeah.
He won't bring to your memory something you haven't put in.
Exactly. That's like a student that's like, I read through the work, and now he goes to the test or the exam and say, "Lord, please help me. I read through the work." Yeah. But you haven't really studied it.
Yeah.
Right?
But you're right. It's amazing how scripture comes to your mind that you memorized a long time ago.
Yeah.
And if you were to ask, what does it say? You're not sure, but when you're counseling or you're talking to somebody, you're preaching, it comes.
Yeah. Or you even, you don't know exactly where it is. You know it's in Romans, but you don't know if it's Romans 8 or 10, but you can quote the scripture verse at least. Or vice versa, you know it's in Romans 10 somewhere, and you having this counseling or discipling or evangelistic opportunity, and then you can just quickly page there, but you don't know it off by heart necessarily.
Right.
What would you say is the end goal of knowing scripture?
Knowing God. I think that's the end game, and I think that's the end goal. If you're not focused on that, then you really almost put yourself in a precarious situation. It becomes spiritual pride.
Yeah, knowledge pops up.
So okay. The end goal is, of it all, is to know God.
Yeah.
And to live a life pleasing to Him.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking of the catechism of knowing God and enjoy Him forever. I mean, if you don't know Him, you're not going to enjoy Him.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be in a relationship with Him. I need to be in the right relationship with my family, but I need to know them to have that right relationship with them.
Yeah.
And then the last question, what role does a local church play in knowing Scripture?
Yeah, it's indispensable. So think about this. Up until Gutenberg invented the printing press, which was, what, in the 1400s, what did people do for Bibles? People didn't have Bibles. I was reading a Thomas Goodwin sermon the other day in the early 1600s, and it was clear from what he was saying in the sermon that he didn't actually even expect his church members to have Bibles because they were so rare. And he said, so listen to me as I read this and as I've been reading to you. And it's clear that he's talking to a congregation. Most of them didn't have Bibles.
Yeah.
They were exorbitantly expensive, very rare to have. So here's the point. How do people know Scripture? They did it corporately.
Yeah.
They were dependent on one another. You know, you think of when Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, make sure this epistle is read in Laodicea, and you read the epistle to the Laodiceans.
Yeah. Handing over the letters.
Exactly. Okay. So they were reading. So I think the church is important. We should be reading Scripture together, getting together, discussing it. It's hugely important. Otherwise, it becomes individualistic, and it's dangerous too.
Yeah,
because you can get cut off from the heritage of truth.
Mm.
And if you know Luther, in the only way he could say this, he said if everybody just studies the Bible on their own, then the people are going to go to hell in a thousand different ways.
Oh my!
His point was that we need within the church to be learning truth.
Yeah.
There's a safety there.
Mm.
But otherwise, this guy gets his idea, this guy gets his idea.
Yeah.
So the church keeps us safe.
Yeah.
It's designed to keep us safe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful how the Lord just put His body together for a whole different way of reasons, but specifically to know Him and to get to know Him better.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for your time again.
Pleasure.
It's all the time we have for now, so remember to click on the subscribe button. You can follow us on Facebook at Imprint On or our website imprinton.org. I'm signing off till next time. Take action, read, and learn.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.